Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places, and one of them is not Ruth 2, as it says in the bulletin, as I see that I forgot to change from last week the scripture reading. But we'll be turning, first of all, to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, starting at verse 17, and reading all the way to the end of that chapter, verse 38, and then we'll be reading a few verses from the book of Philippians. Acts chapter 20, starting at verse 17. And let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time while I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship." And then from the book of Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 21, I'll be reading through verse 23, the last three verses of the letter. "Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from Acts chapter 20 and Philippians chapter 4. There are many people who have difficulties with farewells. One of the reasons people have such difficulties with farewells is because farewells are often accompanied with deep emotion in the fact that you're saying goodbye. I have known those who, when it comes to saying goodbye, will quickly give a handshake and be gone, because they'd rather not face or deal with the emotion that may show on their faces or with their tears in saying goodbye. The Apostle Paul was clearly an emotional person. He valued the relationships with fellow Christians that he knew throughout the world that had come to Christ under his ministry. And as he writes and demonstrates his goodbyes, you see the emotion coming through. One cannot help but read Acts chapter 20 and see and feel the emotion that is involved as the Ephesian elders say goodbye to the apostle. The apostle has entered their city in an earlier part of the book of Acts. He has preached the gospel to them, and they have come to believe in Jesus Christ. While he was preaching and teaching in their city, there were money changers who were stirred up the crowd against them, causing a riot, and the church and Paul almost lost their lives. Yet the apostle continued his preaching and teaching and his shepherding of these church members in Ephesus. And as he leaves them for the last time, he gives them final instructions to carry on the work of Jesus Christ that he began in their midst. And so as he now heads back to the city of Jerusalem, where they know for sure that the apostle will be arrested and perhaps killed, there is an emotional parting that takes place, starting in verse 36. When he had said this, Paul knelt down and all of them prayed together. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. And what grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. In this life, they know that they will never see the apostle again. And after their final prayer together to the Lord, they are weeping and embracing and kissing him as he goes to the ship, to the place that may be where he will die. Paul's letters are no different than what we read in the book of Acts and what took place in Ephesus. Paul's farewells in his letters are also filled with emotion and reflect the intense relationships that he has with the church members and with the elders in the various cities to which he writes. It is no secret that the Apostle Paul patterned his letters after the typical Greco-Roman letter of the day. Paul did not always exactly follow the pattern, but his letters very much reflect the greetings that took place, how the letter was written concerning the body, and even the farewells. But as Paul writes his farewells in each one of his letters, they are much more than the simple good luck or good health or farewell, which was typical of letters in the Roman world. The apostle often adds specific teaching, specific intimate details of what is to take place, declaring his love for the church and for that body. The apostle often adds instructions concerning their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come to the end of the letter of Philippians, we see such a farewell taking place. The apostle writes in verse 21, "Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus." Now, before we skip over these verses or these words and think not much of them, we need to quickly take note of the Greek word that the apostle uses in verse 21. The word for greet has as its root the Greek word for embrace. You see, the apostle concludes with more than just a handshake or a saying of goodbye or hello or a wave, but the apostle is instructing those in Philippi to greet or embrace all the saints in Christ Jesus. It is as if the apostle, if he were in Philippi, would embrace each one of them himself if he were there. The apostle has great love for this church in Philippi. He has great love for the gospel and for what they have shared together in their knowledge and their service of Jesus Christ. And so as he concludes in his farewell, this is not just a goodbye or a farewell or a good luck, but there's instructions given to embrace all the saints in Christ Jesus. Now, in many of Paul's letters, he concludes in a very similar way, sometimes even more intense than we find here in the book of Philippians. If you were to look at the concluding words of the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians, of Thessalonians, of the book of Romans, the apostle concludes those letters by saying, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." Well, there's no kissing here in Philippi, but there is an embrace that is being told, that they are being told to do, an embrace for each one of the saints. Why? Why does the apostle conclude his farewell in Philippi in this particular way? Why does he tell them to do more than just the simple goodbye or good luck? Why does he not tell them to go ahead and to greet one another with a holy kiss as he does in other letters? Well, you must remember what's taking place in Philippi. This is a church that is divided. This is a church in which there are selfish people, we have learned in chapter 2, with people that think of themselves better than others. A church in which people look out for their own interests and not the interests of others, where they complain and argue with one another concerning the business and the things of the church, where there is jealousy over who is serving the Lord better than others in the church. And so when the apostle writes this verse 21, he tells them, embrace all the saints in Christ Jesus. Not just some of the saints, not just the ones who they might think are serving more faithfully than others, but an embrace to each one of them, an acknowledgement that each saint, each lamb in that church belongs to the Savior, the Lord Jesus, and is an important person in the life of that church and in the life of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In other letters of the Apostle Paul, he mentions specific people to give greetings to. Specific names are given. We don't find that at the end of Philippians. And it was not that the apostle didn't have dear friends. You remember Lydia, whom Paul met outside of the city gate praying and who was the first one to come to believe Christ in Philippi. Lydia, a seller of purple cloth, who opened her house to be the first church there in the city. You remember the Philippian jailer who survived the earthquake and all the prison doors were opened and whom Paul went home with and baptized him and his family. The apostle had dear friends in Philippi, but he does not specifically mention their names in his final farewell. And the reason that no names are mentioned is to again emphasize the fact that all the saints are important. All the saints are to be greeted. Each one, from the wealthy Roman soldier, from the wealthy seller of purple cloth, from the poor slave girl who came to Christ. Paul's instructions are that all the saints belong to Christ Jesus. All the saints are to be greeted and embraced in the same very way. So that these jealousies, so that this selfishness that is going on in this congregation may be overcome and may be put behind them. But who is it that is to lead this fight? Who is it that is to take the initiative and bring about this greeting, this embracing? Well, notice how he words this. Verse 21, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. Somebody is to greet the saints. The saints aren't to greet the saints. Somebody is being told to greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. Well, remember how the apostle started out this letter. He started out this letter in chapter 1, verse 1, by saying, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. This is the only time in all of Paul's letters in the New Testament where he specifically sends greetings to the overseers and the deacons. This letter is written to not only the saints, but specifically the officers, the leadership of the church. And as Paul sends his final greetings, his farewell, he again points to the leadership of the church. He recognizes that as the apostle, their representative of Christ, who has shared the grace of Christ with them, he has in that congregation an extension of Christ and an extension of himself. The leadership, the officers, the elders and the deacons of this congregation, they are being instructed to greet all the saints, all the lambs in Christ Jesus. They are called above all the others in this congregation to make sure that there is no jealousy, that there are no people who think of themselves better than others, that there are no favorites. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ does not have favorites. The Lord Jesus Christ does not acknowledge one who is wealthy more than one who is poor. The Lord Jesus Christ does not have his favorites who serve and those who maybe don't serve as much. The Lord Jesus Christ loves all of his saints, all of his lambs, equally. And as the apostle sends his greetings for them to be embraced in the Lord Jesus Christ, so is the leadership of this congregation being instructed to greet and embrace each one of the saints in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice today if each and every church that we know of would not have cliques, would not have those who think of themselves more important than others, but that each lamb, that each saint would be treated the same in Christ Jesus as the Lord Jesus Christ himself treats each one of them. In fact, if you move on to verse 22, you will see that the apostle is making this point in an even more an emphatic way. If you look at verse 22, it says, all the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Now remember, this is a Roman colony, the city of Philippi. It is a colony filled with retired Roman soldiers and perhaps government workers. And as the apostle concludes his final greetings in verse 22, he mentions especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Now, anyone who had served in Rome or was a Roman citizen would certainly be impressed with this. Caesar's household, Caesar, the most powerful man in the world. You didn't become a member of Caesar's household unless you had earned your way or had served the kingdom of Rome well. These were the most honored people, the most cherished people, whether it was a slave, the best slave, whether it was the soldiers, the best soldiers, whoever it was, these were the highest class of all people who could serve in Caesar's household. And as Paul concludes his final greetings, he tells them, all the saints send you greetings, especially those in Caesar's household. You see, those in Caesar's household do not consider themselves above those in Philippi. They belong to Christ Jesus. They recognize that the saints in Philippi belong to Christ Jesus. And thus, as they send their greetings to the lowly people of Philippi, the lowly people of Philippi need to treat and send their greetings to one another. If those in Caesar's household are not above the saints in Philippi, why should any saint in Philippi consider themselves better than another saint? Paul is emphasizing the unity of this church and of this body as he gives these final greetings. No saint is above another. Each saint equally must serve Christ and must serve the Lord and be embraced as if Christ himself were there to embrace them. Now remember, this is a church which is suffering greatly. They have been persecuted. They have been beaten and flogged as the apostle has been flogged. They have identified with all of his sufferings, even his imprisonment. And what message does the apostle want to send? What should the saints visibly see demonstrated in their midst from Jesus Christ himself as Paul communicates it to them? The embrace of the Lord Jesus. You see, as Paul sends this final farewell to the elders, he's instructing them concerning what they must do concerning the flock. They represent Christ in the midst of these saints. As they go through trouble, as they go through struggles, as the elders and leaders of the church embrace them or encourage them or give them things to one another, it is as if the Lord Jesus Christ is present with them, reminding these little lambs that he is their Lord, that he is with them, and that he will protect them and guide them and save them. But this is not all the apostle has to say. For in verse 21, the second half of that verse, we read this: "The brothers who are with me send their greetings." Now, if you look at the beginning of verse 22, it tells us, "All the saints send you greetings." So in verse 21, the apostle, as he writes, "The brothers who are with me send greetings," he's not describing here the other saints. He's describing those who are with him, those who are serving the Lord with him in a leadership capacity. Whether it is Timothy, who we know was with him from earlier in the letter, whether it was the preachers of which he writes earlier in the letter, whether it was the leadership of the church in Rome, the elders and the deacons of Rome, the brothers who are with him also send their greetings. You see, there is a connection that's going on between the two churches in Paul's final farewell. The leadership of one church, the elders and pastor, are sending their greetings to the leadership of another church, the elders and those involved in leadership, the deacons in Philippi. There is a connectional church that is going on here. The apostle who is in Rome, the church in Philippi, many miles away in Macedonia. These churches are connected, and in Paul's final farewell, he's showing this connection that is taking place. There is a fellowship in Christ Jesus between the two churches, a greetings, a care for one another that takes place. This past week, last weekend, Elder Rudy Dysings and I returned from a presbytery meeting. And in the presbytery meeting, the first thing that happens is the elders of each church share their prayer, praises, and concerns with the rest of the presbytery as we pray for one another, as we greet one another in Christ Jesus. There is a connection between the church in Oak Harbor and the church in Boise, between the church in Oak Harbor and the church in Wasilla. These churches are connected together in Christ Jesus. They send greetings to one another. We serve Christ together, and we encourage and help one another. Maybe you remember how when there was difficulties in the Boise church, they asked your pastor and your elder to go out and to meet with them and encourage them and to try to help them through that situation. There is a connection between the churches. And in Paul's final greeting here, he's showing that connection that takes place between the various bodies and between the church of Christ. Though there may be many miles between the churches, they are still together, representing Christ and serving him upon this earth. I'm so glad that this fall, the presbytery meeting is going to be here in Oak Harbor, and you can witness and attend these meetings and see these very things that take place within the greater body of the church. But this is not all what the apostle has to say in these two verses. For look very carefully how he structures them in verses 21 and 22. He writes, "Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings." And finally, "All the saints send you greetings." Remember how the apostle began his letter. The book of Philippians begins unique to all the rest of Paul's letters. He starts out by saying in Philippians 1, verse 1, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The main issue that's going on in Philippi is disunity. As the apostle begins the letter, he reminds them of their unity. First, there is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ united together as the first and second person of the Trinity. Then we have the apostle Paul and Timothy as servants of Jesus Christ, united together as his servants, Paul the apostle and Timothy who is with him. And finally, you have the saints in Christ Jesus and the officers of the church, the overseers and the deacons. All of these are united as one body together in Christ Jesus, whether it is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship with Paul the apostle, whether it is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship with the overseers and the deacons, or whether it is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and their relationship with the saints. They are all one body. They are all unified in a beautiful unity that takes place in the body of Christ. Notice Paul's concluding words in his final greetings. "Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus." Paul the apostle in Christ Jesus sends instructions to the overseers to greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. Not only does Paul from Rome send these greetings, but the brothers, the leadership in Rome, sends these greetings, verse 21. And then in verse 22 we read that even the saints send you greetings. You see, the church in Rome is also one body. You have the apostle Paul who is in Christ Jesus, the leadership of the church, the brothers who are in Christ Jesus, the saints in Rome who are in Christ Jesus. Each one of these, united together, sends their greetings to the church in Philippi. Now, the apostle, you remember, also was dealing with similar situations as those in Philippi. He had those within the body who were preaching Christ out of envy and rivalry, he tells us in chapter 1. Those who tried to stir up trouble for him while he was in chains, we read in chapter 1. Yet as he sends this final greetings, he does not exclude anyone who has been preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ. In fact, in his final greetings, they are one body sending their greetings to the Savior, or to the church. Paul sends his greetings, the leadership sends their greetings, and the saints send their greetings. The church in Rome is unified. So should the church in Philippi be unified. All of these troubles which have come upon the apostle that he has shared with the Philippians are the same troubles that have gone on in Philippi. And if you were to sum up the main message of the book of Philippians, if you were to know and try to understand what is the main theme that Paul wants them to know and understand, it is the unity in the body of Christ. It's that no one saint is above another. It's that each one belongs to the Savior and is His little lamb. And the church should be united. As the Father and the Son are united, so should the church, the apostle, the overseers, the saints be united. The church in Rome is united and sends its greetings. The church in Philippi should be united as they receive this greeting. The church in Oak Harbor should be united as they read and hear these words in Philippians. Paul's exhortation to Philippi is Paul's exhortation through the Savior to us. As one body, as one church, we serve together with each saint, each person who belongs to the Savior, one of His little lambs, belonging to Him, serving Him, rooted in the Father and the Son. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we see these final words of the apostle, we see the intimate love that he has for the saints in Philippi. For he does not just send them greetings, but he sends an embrace. An embrace which comes from the Savior. We pray, Father, that as your church, we too may know and understand this intimate love that the Savior has for us. For the love that Paul has for the Philippians is rooted in the love that Christ has for the saints. May we as your people know and understand this intimate love that you have for us. May those saints around us, including the leadership of the church, express this intimate love and bond that we have through one another. Whether it be a handshake, whether it be a hug or an embrace, Lord, may Christ be present in this body through the saints. As we serve one another, as we live with one another, as we seek to glorify you. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.